Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
He was taken off suicide watch a week later, so that's August 1st. He's found dead in his cell on August 10th.
I also don't understand. I never heard of the policy. You're only on suicide watch for a week. You're on suicide watch for as long as you have the conditions that indicate you might commit suicide. The conditions yesterday or the day before were no different than the day that he attempted suicide.
Wow. Yeah, there's Rudy Giuliani yesterday saying, listen, serious questions here about how this prison handled this. The DOJ is looking into it. Guards have been moved around now. They might not have even checked on him at all that entire night. His roommate had been removed. Nothing to see here, folks. I'm just saying. Even if you don't believe that there's any outside wild possibility that anything odd could have happened here, the simple fact that he was ignored for 8 hours, you got to wonder who ordered that, or who decided that, or, you know, whatever the case may be. That's just strange. Even the president was talking about it last night. He didn't shy away from this at all. He was speaking about it in Pennsylvania. We'll get to more of that in a minute. We've got Stacey Washington, Stacey on the right, coming up at 7:37. State Representative Justin Hill, who just toured the border, is going to join us coming up in about 12 minutes or so. So stay tuned for that. We're going to find out what he saw firsthand down there along the border when he got to go into one of AOC's so-called concentration camps. We'll get the real deal, the straight scoop from Justin Hill coming up. But first,
the stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas.
Genevieve Wood from the Heritage Foundation joining us this morning, the Daily Signal, dailysignal.com. Good morning to you. What's going on?
Good morning, Mark. Good morning. Well, you know, just the madness of Washington continues. I was listening to your piece there on Epstein, and I was thinking, you know, this is a perfect reason why when somebody like Senator Chuck Schumer, who yesterday came out and said, well, what we need to do here is the president needs to move the $5 billion request he has for the border wall, and he needs to put that towards gun safety and these domestic terrorism measures. I want to say something like him, number one, that's completely a political move from the get-go, because you pick the one part of the budget line items that you know the president's not going to give on. If you really cared about this issue, you'd look somewhere else. But number two, when we have, you know, agencies, whether it's prisons, whether it's the different agencies that are supposed to be supplying information into background checks and the like, when they're not even doing those jobs well yet, why on earth would we give another $5 billion into those places when they can't even do the jobs we're asking them to do right now?
It's all politics, and they're not going to give him an ounce of anything between now and 2020. There's not a chance of that. That becomes so clear every day when they attack every single thing this president does, including, Genevieve, these trade policies. You know, and I was speaking with Jennifer Kashenka about that earlier, who gives us business news every morning. The market was up yesterday. It's back down this morning. They don't know what the president's going to do. Jim Acosta, this statement by Jim Acosta just, it didn't surprise me, but listen to Cut 21, just the first bit of it here.
Anderson, the president almost did something remarkable today. He almost admitted he was wrong. The president said, as you were just saying a few moments ago, that they are postponing these tariffs because he doesn't want to have an adverse effect on the Christmas shopping season, saying that essentially he doesn't want consumers to be impacted by these tariffs. Well, that runs contrary to everything he's been saying up until this point. He's been saying that U.S. consumers are not affected by these tariffs, when in fact we know that they have been. And I talked.
Yeah. So the president came very close to admitting he was wrong. The president is a negotiator. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, he wrote a book on it.
Yeah, a book apparently that's extremely popular in China, is my understanding. It's not, it's been translated Chinese and is a bestseller over there. So, you know, I'm sure we should send Jim Acosta a book for Christmas.
We should.
Like he's already thinking in that way. Look, the president has always been someone who will tick and tack on negotiations, whether it's with people on the Hill, whether it's, you know, the folks in different parts of the world that we're trying to do trade deals with. And that's, I think, a strong part of his negotiating tactics. I don't agree, and neither does the Heritage Foundation, with every single thing he's ever said about trade. But what we will say is that he has been a strong negotiator, and that as long as the end result is a good deal for the United States and is a good deal for the American people, we're going to be supportive of that. And I will tell you, he has been extremely open to the ideas that we've presented, whether it's talking about the Mexico-Canada Free Trade Agreement, Great Britain, what's going on with China. He's been very open to always hearing new ideas, because I think he's very serious about crafting the best deal for America. And, you know, unlike Obama, who would, let's remember, he would never come out and talk to the cameras like the president does
never.
Almost every time he's going to a public event. The President Trump does, and he speaks what's on his mind that day. Here's where we are today, you know? And so, yeah, from day to day, week to week, things can change. But the principle and the goal never changes, which is I'm trying to get the best deal for America.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny that the media never called out President Obama on his red line in Syria. It was okay if he drew a line in the sand and then stepped back from it repeatedly. They don't cut President Trump that same quarter, particularly, you know, on this issue. That they were unhappy that he called Kim Jong-un Rocket Man. Then they were unhappy that he met with him. They're unhappy that
yeah.
he wants fair trade policies. And then they're unhappy that he you know, eased his language a little bit to try to make this deal happen. They're not going to give him an ounce between now and 2020, neither the media nor the left-leaning politicians in this country.
No, well, and here's the thing, Mark. I mean, look, we all, you know, cut a little slack for those people that we love and those people that we support. But here's the reality. The media is not supposed to be in that business, right?
Right, okay, right.
So I understand the Democrats not giving, they're trying to win an election. I get it. I don't like it, but I get it. You know, Republicans give their side a little slack. But the media is supposed to be calling balls and strikes regardless of who's in office. And you were exactly right. They always gave Obama a lot of slack. I mean, you named several, but I can't think of anything that they frankly ever criticized him on. But today, Donald Trump, we don't like the color of his suit. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what he does, nothing. They're going to find a way to criticize it or hide any success. And that's because they do have an agenda. And I will say, I mean, I know the American public's already on to that. But I think as we head in closer and closer to the 2020, that's going to be on such full display, even maybe in a way that it wasn't in 2016.
You know, I want to play something because the president spoke last night in Pennsylvania. He just has a way of occupying real estate in the heads of the left, and this is another way that he pulled that off last night, and he did it in such a way that I'm sure probably Al Gore probably lost sleep. Go to cut number three, please.
Unlike those big windmills that destroy everybody's property values, kill all the birds, someday the environmentalists are going to tell us what's going on with that. And then all of a sudden it stops. The wind and the televisions go off. And your wives and husbands say, "Darling, I want to watch Donald Trump on television tonight. But the wind stopped blowing and I can't watch. There's no electricity in the house, darling."
I know all the time when I'm talking to my wife, I'll say to her, "You know, I'd like to listen to Mark Cox on the radio today, but the wind turbines quit blowing last night and we have no electricity." It just, the way he phrased that just cracked me up. And his point is, he hits home because you got 24 people running for president who are trying to sell you on a Green New Deal that would move us back to horseback.
Yeah, who want to put a windmill in every yard? Yeah, I mean, look, the president, his rhetorical skills, I can get some people go, "Oh, it's not presidential." He talks in a way about issues and policies. He tells stories. He talks in a way that you remember them.
Yes.
And he talks in a way that you can say, "You know what? that makes sense. Now I know why I'm not for that, or now I know why I should be concerned about that. You know, that's just not the way most politicians often talk. And that's one reason, you know, I think he was very successful, and out of however many candidates we had in 2016, he truly stood out because he was different than the rest, both in his presentation skills, but also the way he obviously was going to take it to Washington. But you're right, he totally gets in the head left because they can't do what he did last night. There's not a person on that stage of 20 or however many there are now on the Democratic side who I think could be that kind of candidate. And I think they are increasingly concerned. There is nobody on that stage right now who's going to eventually be able to truly be a strong candidate against Donald Trump. Biden, I know in all the polls it says differently, but it's very different when it's them up there against him. Totally different story.
Yeah, the makeup, and I don't know how much you've looked at this, but the makeup of these first few primaries will be a key. They had a poll out today that showed Bernie Sanders beating Biden hands down in New Hampshire, which is not a surprise because that's his back. That's his backyard. Yeah. In Iowa, they're expecting Elizabeth Warren to do well, and Biden has historically never done well in Iowa when he's run for president. It's going to very quickly, I believe, reach a point where the party is going to have to admit that Joe Biden is not up to this task, and then they face an even bigger question.
Right. Then what do you have? I know they've asked people like Bloomberg and others, are you going to jump in? But, and also keep in mind these national polls that they take, you know, I don't know how representative they are of individual states. And remember, we do have the Electoral College. So you may be polling a bunch of Democrats, but if they all live in the Northeast and California, just winning those states isn't going to get the job done. So you can be popular in New Hampshire and maybe popular, you know, in Maine or California or what have you, but can any of those people run in most parts of the country when up against a more moderate, a la Donald Trump candidate? I think it's going to be tough.
Yeah, no, not a chance. I don't see how that happens unless something, you know, dramatic happens with the economy in the next 12 months or.
Well, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Something along those lines. It's crazy. But we can all sleep easier now because the news just broke that a Swedish court has found ASAP Rocky guilty of assault. Of course, ASAP Rocky is the I guess he's a rapper, musician who was accused of assault in Sweden. The president tried to work to get him free, got criticized by Kamala Harris for sticking his nose in it, oddly enough. The guy's back in the U.S. now, and now he's been found guilty of assault. The criminal justice system moves rapidly in Sweden. This all just happened.
I haven't even seen it. It happened so fast, I hadn't even seen it, Mark.
I mean, I didn't even know who the guy was till this story broke a month ago, and now they've already held his trial and found him guilty, and now they could jail him for 2 years for his role in a street brawl. It's just...
I don't know all the details of that case, so I will say one thing. Justice should be swift. Yeah. One of the problems we do have in this country is it's not near swift enough a lot of times. We maybe could take a lesson from it, but that's without knowing the details of the case.
Amen. I couldn't agree more. Listen, Genevieve, always a pleasure having you on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
We'll talk to you soon at Genevieve Wood on Twitter. Be sure and follow her there, dailysignal.com. Daily Signal, by the way, has got a great article today on the changes the president just announced to these the endangered species regulations that the left is melting down on. You should read that before you buy into the gloom and doom scenario that the world's about to end. The sky is falling every time this president does something. You know where else the sky is falling in some ways is on the heads of people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who want you to believe that we've got concentration camps along the southern border. We know that is not the case, and we've got Missouri State Representative Justin Hill with us this morning from District 108. Now, he's been down in Texas this week with an organization called ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. It's a nonpartisan, voluntary organization for legislators. And Justin, welcome into the program. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. I'm doing wonderful. Getting ready to start this meeting, a 3-day meeting down here in Austin.
That's great. And, I mean, what an opportunity for somebody from right here in Missouri to see firsthand what's going on along the border. Tell me how you got this access and what you were able to do yesterday.
Well, our partners down in Texas, they have an interest in making sure their neighboring states to the north truly have a good understanding of what's going on in their southern border. So they invited me and about, 10 other legislators to do a tour of a facility down there, do a border tour via helicopter and boat down on the Rio Grande to get a better understanding rather than just kind of seeing it from the couch and watching TV.
Yeah. So what did you find? Before you tell me about flying in the helicopter, because I know I saw the pictures on Facebook from you getting to do that. That was pretty cool. You got to tour a couple of these, at least one of the facilities that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez would lead us all to believe were the equivalent of concentration camps. What did you find?
Yeah, I did the exact same tour. So when we went in, and they don't even call it a detention center because they call it a processing facility, because this facility is specifically for family units and unaccompanied children. Okay, so if you're a single adult and you're detained crossing the border illegally, you're going to go to a facility for men or a facility for women. But if you have a child, and that's anyone 17 and under, you go to this specific facility. And what I saw in there was actually very wonderful. I mean, I've seen worse jails in the St. Louis area than I saw down here. And, it's just... there's a look on people's face like of relief because A, they're getting water, they're getting food, kids are getting juice and toys and snacks, and they're given a shower, they're given toiletries, they're allowed to see a medical doctor. In fact, they get 2 checkups while they're there. We want to make sure that if someone's coming in illegal, we don't want to spread disease to American citizens, right? So everybody gets checked out.
You mean you didn't see people squatting down on their hands and knees drinking out of toilets?
No, not at all. Everybody's given a blanket. They're given cushions to lay on. They do use fencing because they want to be able to see throughout the whole facility. And a lot of times they use fencing so that if somebody comes into the facility with a child that is not theirs, another immigrant might say, that child does not belong with that man. Because what's really going on down here is the drug cartels are in the business of human trafficking. They're charging each individual $5,000 to get them across the border.
Wow.
And they know if they have a child with them, it ties the hands of American law enforcement. Well, if I have, 1,000 kilos of heroin to move into the United States, I'm going to get... maybe 30 individuals that have paid their way to get into the United States. I'm going to have them go to the border all at the same time. And what Border Patrol and the Guard and Texas DPS told me was they're the ones being arrested, because whenever that many come across the border, everywhere else is just they're free to cross.
Sure.
Right? With all the drugs.
Yeah.
It was completely eye-opening.
We're talking to Missouri State Representative Justin Hill from District 108. He's down in Texas for a conference right now. I got to go to the border with Governor Matt Blunt a number of years ago, and I got to fly in a helicopter courtesy of the National Guard along the border in Arizona. What did you see shocking revelation when I saw it was that there was a highway. There was a bunch of sand, and there was another highway, and one highway was in the U.S., the other one was in Mexico. There was no fence. There was nothing but tumbleweeds between the two, and it struck me how difficult a job our Border Patrol really faces every day.
Yeah, well, this is a huge collaborative effort here in Texas because, the Guard was activated in part due to the Trump administration. 13 states have joined the Texas Guard to help them at the border. So you've got American soldiers from all over the U.S., and they're so happy to be down here helping in this effort. I flew with a couple of DPS pilots, and when they took me up, it was along the Rio Grande, and it's so windy and curvy. So, I mean, trying to protect our border via boat
sure.
is very delayed and a lot harder. But what I noticed on the Mexican side was, you know, there's old resorts there. Nobody's at them. All the cartels own all the land against the United States. And you'll see roads that come north from Mexico and end right in the river, and those are the dump points.
Well,
Yeah, 120-yard swim.
You can't appreciate it until you see it in person. Justin Hill, thanks for that in-person report there, and we'll have you in studio to talk about it when you get back up here. How about that?
Sounds good, Mark. Have a good day.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You too. Representative Justin Hill, at Hill for Missouri on Twitter, if you want to follow him there, from District 108. Wow. It's pretty shocking. They got a big job down there. Let's put it that way. Hey, Stacy Washington. Stacy on the right coming up at 7:37. The bottom line with Mike Colonna about 8:10. We'll be right back.
I am convinced that Mitch wants to do something. I've spoken to Mitch McConnell. He wants to do background checks, and I do too, and I think a lot of Republicans do.
Yeah, there's the president yesterday on his way to Pennsylvania. Again, the helicopter noise in the background. But basically what he said was, Mitch wants to do background checks. I want to, too. We'll see what we can do. Stop. Stop caving to the left, Mr. President. That is unnecessary. Let me get to my friend Stacy Washington, stacyontheright.com. Stacy, how are you?
Oh, Mark, I'm just trying to say what's up, what's down with Chris Cuomo saying that is the equivalent of the N-word, and you know, then there's all the stuff that we have going on with Sarah Silverman, and so I'm just trying to keep up. These people are they're interesting people.
They're insane is what they are. The whole Chris Cuomo thing, we were talking about it earlier. He's when this thing surfaced, and I love the fact that somebody found this interview with Curtis Sliwa from a few years ago. Play cut 10 for the people, please.
There's a group of people, of politicos, who always hint that they might run but don't necessarily plunge all the way, and they are members of La Cuomo Nostra.
So who am I then, Fredo?
Yes!
He's Fredo. He's Fredo. He's willing to call himself that, but then he wants the world to believe that he considers that the equivalent of the N-word, Stacey.
So, first of all, anybody who's seen The Godfather knows that Fredo was not a racial term in that movie. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the ethnicity of the person. It's the fact that he's the brother who's just not as good. He's the brother who, you know, he looks at his other brother and says, wow, I wish I could be like him. He's not strong. He's not direct. And so it was a joke that Chris Cuomo made, a joke he has a right to make it about himself.
Sure.
What's interesting is that this isn't the only time he's ever said, oh, that's the equivalent of the N-word. Like, he's constantly searching for an opportunity to have the same kind of experience that Black Americans have on occasion had in this country. And I just wish he would stop it. Because, first of all, Black people don't have that experience very often, let alone in a grocery store somewhere. I think that the real problem here, Mark, is another radio host that is huge and big and we all know, likes to nickname people. And a long time ago, he nicknamed, Chris Cuomo, Fredo. And that's what he's angry about. He's not angry about the N-word or any racial, there's nothing else to it but him being mad that a radio host that's pretty powerful on the right actually nicknamed him so well that some Americans think that's his actual name, Fredo.
Well, you hear it at the beginning of the whole exchange. He says, that's what you right-wing nuts call me. And he's clearly referring to Limbaugh. So good for Rush for calling him out on that. I think that's hilarious that he got under his skin like that.
Well, but if I'm speaking here as someone who I've listened to pretty much everybody, and everybody has a knack for something. Each host has something that they do that's, you know, unique to them. And one of the things that Rush Limbaugh does well is he finds a nickname that's just under the surface of your skin, and he'll use it for the rest of your natural-born life. And that's what he's done with Chris Cuomo, who is aware of it, which I think the biggest weakness for him, the cursing was horrible. The threats were ridiculous. It was like listening to two drunk people or one drunk person in a bar.
Yes.
But what was worse about it was that he let the nickname that someone else gave him, he could have just corrected the guy and said, actually, my name's Chris Cuomo. I'm a host on CNN. boom, that would have been the end of it. And then the guy could have said, well, can I have a picture with you? And they could have taken the picture and it would have been over. No viral story, then all of us would know that Chris Cuomo listens to Rush Limbaugh. But that's the point of this story.
But you and I, have been in this business long enough to know we could never get away with that. I mean, if I went out on the street today and somebody came up to me and started calling me some crazy nickname, and I started telling him I was going to throw him down a set of stairs and dropping F-bombs on him, and somebody caught me on social media doing that, I feel pretty confident based on history that I would not get away without suffering consequences. I don't know if they would fire me or if they would issue a statement, but I can't imagine they would be like CNN and come out and say, oh, he was perfectly justified in what he did.
Well, I tend to agree with you. And not just, you know, because of history, but because there's a certain standard that we're held to that they're not. And,
right.
I just go back to when I was a kid, James Earl Jones, I grew up in Germany, and we had one channel, Armed Forces Radio, and then we had Armed Forces Network, which is a TV, and every morning for about 3 hours, it was CNN. And this was back in the day when it was Bobby Bautista and Lynn Bond, and James Earl Jones would say, this is CNN.
Yes.
And, you know, my dad would be on the way out in his combat boots, and, you know, guns everywhere, and me and my sister would be eating our cereal, and my mom would be, you know, kind of prodding us along, even though we had an hour left to go, and we'd be watching CNN, and they would be in the Middle East, or, you know, they were in Beirut, for goodness sakes, reporting on the ground, and as things were developing, they would be going to live feed in these foreign countries reporting on these breaking international stories, and I just remember thinking to myself, you know, Lynn Baum and Bobby Bautista are the coolest women on the face of the planet, because
right.
They get to talk to these guys every day, and they're the beginning and the end of our day. It's just amazing. And I just thought they were amazing. I thought James Earl Jones was amazing. It was just, you know, you're awestruck. You're, you know, 14 years old and you're watching this stuff. The same things I'd be reading in the Stars and Stripes in the morning before school, they'd be reporting on it. And so now you've got Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon and the others. And it's just so sad. I mean, it's not just their antics when they're in their private lives. Just even if we say it's your private life, act however you want. It's when they're on camera, you're kind of looking at it thinking, this is CNN? I mean, they should have a new voice, like a smurf or somebody that says, this is CNN, instead of, you know, James Earl Jones. This is crazy.
Smurf. I love it. The new mascot of CNN, a smurf named Fredo. How about that? We'll give him a nickname. Hey, the Sarah Silverman story, quickly. The left is perfectly willing to eat their own, clearly. She's no friend of anybody in the conservative circles, but she lost this movie role because at some point in her comedic career, she used blackface to look like Queen Latifah, apparently, right?
Okay, so there's two parts to this. And I actually, I got a little more information after I was on air yesterday talking about this. So I just want to make a clear delineation.
Okay.
So first of all, prepare to be triggered, because if you're dressed up, if you're white and you're dressed up as someone who is black and they're a movie star or something like that, that's not blackface. Now, I know people are probably swerving all over the road, but just hear me out here. Now, what is blackface is when you as a white person put on actual black face makeup. It's shiny. It's like almost like tar. And then you paint your lips white or red and you put on a red scarf or bandana and kind of like a huckster outfit, like, you know, a farmer coveralls, whatever. That is blackface. So one of them is racist and one is not. If you dress up in the Sambo outfit that mocks black people for their appearance, that was used, you know, back during the segregation years to mock blacks and to kind of entertain racist white people, then that's racial. I don't know if you're a racist or not. You might just be stupid, but that's racist. But if you just dress up as Queen Latifah or Beyonce or Tyra Banks, or if you're a man, if you dress up as LeBron James, because, you know, that's your guy, that's your dude, and it's Halloween, that's not racist. So what I'm looking for is for people to actually have some nuance here. I actually care nothing about Sarah Silverman, except to say that isn't it fun to watch the left eat their own people? She's one of their strongest, staunchest defenders. She has actually put forward things that are so vulgar and so disgusting, especially in the area of abortion, anything having to do with women, that it's almost nice. Like, you know, I'm not a shaving fluid person, But if I was, this would be my day. Like yesterday and today would be my day. I would be just giddy. I'd be cartwheeling all over the place. But in the big scheme of things, she can't even see that it's her own comedy, her own ridiculous lack of moral standards that has brought her to this place where her own people are kicking her in the gut. And by the way, on Reddit, there's a huge page. If you type in Sarah Silverman blackface, you can see her dressed as Sambo in blackface. So I was yesterday saying she wasn't, so she's not racist because she was dressed as Queen Latifah, and I'm still standing by that. But she did actually dress in blackface with the blackface paint, red bandana, white lips, and she was out in public like that.
Huh.
Yeah, she did. And someone sent me the pictures on Facebook, and I'm like, oh my gosh, well, thank goodness I didn't actually defend her. So yeah, Mark, this is the age of Aquarius, if you will, because we're just like, we're ping-ponging from one thing to the next. And all I'm trying to do, Mark, is to be clear that, so some things actually are racist. It's a very small category of things. They're very specific, and they don't happen very often. And when they do, people are shocked, rightly so, because racism is just like any other bad thing, any other sin or any other immoral act. It's shocking. But racism is not our problem here. Our problem is everything is racist. Mark, you're a racist. I'm a racist. This green, you know, little, I got this green printed coffee cup. It's a racist. The pillows I have in here are racist. Everything's racist. My computer screen, one's black, one has a white back. Those are racist. I'm telling you, we're in an age where there isn't anything, like I have a white dog, but we're all black over here. Racist. We got to get past that. So, you know, Sarah Silverman, you know, God bless you. But this is what you rot. Eat it. This is your meal. Sit down.
Thank you for bringing some common sense to the equation as usual, Stacey. We got to run, but thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Stacey on the right there. Always great to get her on the radio, and glad she's back with us here. StaceyOnTheRight.com at StaceyOnTheRight on Twitter. Quick break. We're back in a minute. We've got the bottom line with Mike Colonna coming up at 8:10. Don't miss it.
I have long called for a Blexit, a black exit from a Democrat party, and I am seeing Latinos wake up, and I am seeing other minority groups like Chinese Americans wake up and Jewish Americans wake up, and we are done with the left. We want policies, not rhetoric.
Candace Owens laying down some truth. How about that? You know, I was talking yesterday about how the president called out Baltimore and Elijah Cummings and took so much heat for it until everybody showed up with their TV cameras and found out he was right. Was on Annie Fry's show yesterday discussing this. And what I said was, what scares the left is that it blows out of the water their theory that only the government can fix your problems. Baltimore, Detroit, all of these big cities, Chicago, are a glaring example of how once you get multiple generations who sit around and wait on a check, and that's crosses color lines completely in different areas of the country, you can't go back. You just can't. And the president's proven that. They've spent hundreds of millions of dollars in Baltimore, and it's a wreck. So to Candace's point, people need to wake up and realize that they've been sold a bag of lies by the left in this country. Mike Colonna might have an opinion on that. We'll chat with him about it. Former Missouri State Rep coming up on The Bottom Line. And then Gene Evans going to join us, Executive Director of the Missouri Republican Party, to talk about the governor's race.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.